Good morning. I want to thank the opportunity of being here. My name is Rafael Martinez Feria. I'm a grad student at Iowa State University, and I'm really excited to present to you some of the work that I've done with my PhD advisor, Sotirios Arkuntoulis, and colleagues at Iowa State University regarding the cover crop effects on corn. But before I begin, I want to refer you to this recent research article that we put out in case you want to follow up a little bit on the work that we present here. It's published in the Field Crops Research Journal. All right, so today, and you know, we've been talking for a while about the benefits of including rye cover crops into corn-based systems. We like cover crops because they enhance soil quality and soil health, and they do that mainly by providing increasing the amount of carbon inputs into the system. That improves soil chemical and physical properties. We also like cover crops because they minimize or mitigate some of the environmental impacts, the environmental externalities of the corn system, which can be reductions in erosion and runoff, phosphorus runoff, and nitrogen leaching. And we typically see, as we've seen extensively this morning, that improving the biomass, increasing the amount of biomass, increases the soil benefits. Likewise, decreasing soil erosion and runoff, nitrogen leaching, we need to make sure that that rye cover crop gets enough growth in the spring. But I got a question for you. What about corn yields? Does more biomass decrease corn yields, or do they increase corn yields? So this was a central question of our research. In this presentation, I'm going to focus on corn yields and nitrogen leaching, as we think that they characterize the environmental performance and the production performance of the corn system. So based on what I presented in the previous slide, in a study we hypothesized that the magnitude of rye cover crop effects on corn yields and nitrogen leaching were proportional to the biomass at termination, the biomass of rye at termination. Now, in order to understand what are the potential risks, short-term risks and benefits of including rye cover crop into corn-based systems, we need to understand how does rye affect the system. Basic things like, does rye affect soil temperature? How much water does rye use? How much nitrogen does rye take up? Will rye tend to immobilize nitrogen or mineralize nitrogen? And I apologize for the basic graphic that I present here, but what I want to show is that this is a very complex system which has antagonisms and synergies which not only interact with the final yield and nitrogen leaching that we get at the end of the season, but also interact with each other. And therefore, studying the effects of rye has been eluding us for quite a while. So the objectives of our research were to determine how does rye cover crop affect the corn-based systems in terms of changes in soil temperature, soil water, and nitrogen cycling, and to determine whether the magnitude of effects were related to rye biomass at termination, which is something pretty easy to measure in the field. So in order to answer these questions, we use a field data set from the comparison of biofuel systems, which we call COBS, dataset. This field is located in central Iowa and has, you know, with soils that are very typical of the Des Moines lobe. From this dataset, this experiment has six cropping system treatments, but in this experiment, in this paper, we only focus on the continuous corn with rye and the continuous corn without rye. This data set includes a lot of different variables, including daily weather, management for the rye cover crop and the corn. Corn and rye crop variables, biomass, uptake in roots and shoots, and also soil moisture, temperature, and nitrogen concentrations, soil nitrate concentrations and LSNT, so the late spring nitrates that is taken at V6. And we also had drainage variables such as daily flow and nitrate concentrations in subsurface drainage. So there were two ways that we went about working with this data set. About 70% of our efforts were directed to studying this data set, trying to find significant differences between treatments, which we used to answer the first question: how does rye affect the cover crop system? 30% of our efforts were then also going into training and testing the APSIM model. So here I'm not going to go into details about the inner workings of APSIM, and that's why here I put it as a black box. But what is important to know is that APSIM uses as an input weather, daily weather, and some soil and management parameters to simulate a number of system variables that which we were interested in. And I said 30% of our efforts went into this because a lot of the work was already done by René Dito and colleagues, which they comprehensively calibrated the data, this model, to the COP site across all experimental treatments in the site. We used the version, the tested version of the model, to conduct a scenario analysis, a what-if scenario analysis, to effectively extrapolate our experimental results with variation within weather and management, which resulted in a simulated database that we use coupled with our field data set and literature values to try to answer, is the magnitude of the effect related to biomass. Now, a brief summary of experimental results. On average, we saw that corn yields were reduced by 6%. Differences, significant differences were only seen, though, in 2012 and 2013, which had really severe yield drags there, and I'll go a little bit into detail. We also saw that rye reduced nitrogen leaching as expected, but again, significant differences were only there in two years out of the six experimental years. So as I mentioned, we spend a lot of time trying to parse out where what were the mechanisms that resulted in why we only saw differences in two out of the 6 years, and 1 year that where the differences were simultaneous. But in the spirit of timeliness, I'm just going to show you like the most interesting results that we got. So in terms of soil temperature, we found that soil temperature effects were pretty minimal. So in this graph, we can see all the experimental years. Here's my mouse. And we have in the x-axis time, and in the y-axis we have temperature, and I showed two different soil profiles there. And what we can see is that at rye termination, show us RT here, before our termination, there were really, really minor temperature differences, but those temperature differences really disappeared after planting. So here I put V6 for reference. So we discarded the possibility of so-called mulching effect that might reduce soil temperature and therefore seedling growth. For rye water use, we found that changes in the water in the soil profile were likely responsible for the yield drags that we observed in 2012 and 2013. Again, this graph, we show days here in the x-axis and soil water in the y-axis. And more interestingly, though, is that the mechanisms that resulted in yield reductions were quite different between the 2 years. In 2012, we can see that there was a prolonged water deficit of about 25 millimeters that resulted in a really severe yield drag. This likely impacted things like photosynthesis, leaf expansion, grain filling. In 2013, though, the deficit seemed to have clustered mostly before the time of the early season. And we know that early season water stress can affect things like potential kernel number in maize. So we also used a changes in the water balance method to estimate the amount of rye water used. And I show it here as a circle, and which is was a proxy for rye transpiration. And you can see here that it was pretty close to what the APSIM model simulated in terms of the relationship. Using this relationship, we were able to determine that 1 megagram of rye uses about 20 millimeters of water, which I think this could be a really good relationship for farmers to be able to give them some sort of guidance where to decide appropriate termination timing when we have a dry year. Now, changes in the nitrogen cycling might be another way that we know that rye can affect the system. In our study, we got an average uptake of 40 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen per year. And interestingly, we also saw that 60% of that nitrogen went into shoots, and the 40% went into roots. However, we also observed that the quality of the residues were different between roots and shoots. We saw, you know, we know that we don't want to be over that 25 CN ratio in order to promote mineralization rather than immobilization, right? And here we coupled our APSIM and measured data with literature data in order to come with a robust relationship. And I don't know if you can see very well, but there's this confidence interval. And basically, where that confidence interval, the top confidence interval, intersects with 25, that's where we estimated that if we terminate cover crop before 1.6 megagrams per hectare of growth, we have few risks for immobilization. And I must say that all these studies that we used were from the Midwest. Now, in order to address how whether the rye effect on corn was related to and drainage was related to biomass amount, we use, as I mentioned, we use the APSIM model, the calibrated version of the APSIM model, to run a scenario analysis. And in this scenario analysis, we simulated four termination date treatments from early April to, from mid-April to mid-May during 30 weather years. And this gave us 120 simulations as an output. And results from this analysis suggested that there was no significant effect between changes in yield and rye biomass, basically pretty flat. However, we found a significant relationship between changes in nitrogen loss and rye biomass determination. This was associated with a lot of variation. Here our R-square is a meager 2.2, which tells us that, unfortunately, rye biomass is really not an accurate predictor of changes in nitrogen leaching. Here below, I show comparisons with measured data from literature, and this really just confirmed what we saw with our modeling results. So in conclusion, we saw that rye cover crop effects on soil temperature were pretty minimal. Water deficit had the potential to affect yield during dry conditions. That rye terminated during the early vegetative stages had little potential to immobilize nitrogen. And rye effects on yield were not found to be proportionally related to biomass. And although there was a little bit of a relationship there, it was pretty weak for nitrogen leaching. To conclude, I want to thank those who provided funding to conduct this work and those who collected the data. And with that, I want to remind you that if there's this paper that you can go to and look for more details about the work presented here. Thank you very much.